now I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, Happy New Year. Today we look forward to the church's year ahead. We have a new beginning and a clean start. And yet, Advent Sunday is rather different from most other Sundays in the church calendar. The church's year begins with a kind of darkness, an emptiness almost, a feeling of mystery. It is a moment of waiting, holding our breath, a moment of expectation, a peculiar mix of dread and anticipation. Dread, because it is traditionally a time when we explore a number of rather forbidding themes: heaven, hell, death, judgment. But also anticipation, because we look forward to the promise of the incarnation, of Emmanuel, God with us, when God himself enters the arena of our humanity and amazingly shares our human experience. We travel through Advent as Mary travels to Bethlehem. We wait in joyful hope. This is the season when, as well as beginnings, we turn our mind to endings, more precisely to the final ending, which, as Paul tells us, is closer than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is near. It is not simply a human ending. It is the ending of all things, the rolling up of the heavens and the coming of the Son of Man in glory to judge the living and the dead. And to be a Christian is to expect this. We proclaim it in our creed, and we are called to live it out, the consequences of this belief, in our daily lives. Jesus speaks of the end of all things, a time as yet unknown, for which we must stay awake and be prepared. Paul says it is a time now to wake from sleep. The early church prepared, believing the second coming was imminent. We hold to that belief. It may not seem like it will happen any minute, some 2,000 years after those first Christians proclaimed it. And we may not think about it from one day to the next, from one month to the next, but it will happen. And it could as easily be later today as next week or next month or next year. We wait in joyful hope. Of course, we do more than believe. We also experience. Some of us more often or more easily than others. God breaks through into our lives today, not just at some indefinite point in the future. We perceive God in beautiful music, in the joy of our worship, in the silence of an empty church after the congregation has left, in the beauty of the natural world, and in those precious moments when we love someone so deeply and completely that we recognize in that love the touch of the perfect love of God. This is Christ, present in the here and now, the one who takes the darkness and illuminates it, who recognizes our hopelessness and replaces it with his promise. And of course, if we look, we can find God at work in our world today. The kingdom is being advanced. Charitable giving has never been more prevalent. Look at the adverts and the activities of charities in our own country and around the world. Suggest you might run a night shelter, and not only those who believe that Christ became poor for us want to join in, but also many who reject the very idea of God. All over the world, the kingdom virtues of charity and humility and care are honored and lived as much as they are rejected or traduced. There are many tares among the wheat, much that is wrong, but much is right also. The light breaks through, and the love of God teaches us to share it with one another. We wait in weakness, and only the power of Christ's love and the strength of his grace in the world stand between us and utter failure. we wait in joyful hope. What are we to do? How are we properly to prepare? Paul admonishes us, wake up, the time has come, take action. But what action? Well, I'd like to suggest nothing special. Ordinary Christianity, done properly, is preparing for the day of the Lord. Building up the kingdom on earth is preparing for the kingdom of heaven. As in the days of Noah, the ark needs to be built before the flood comes down. The ordinary work of the church, the ministry of the sacraments, the exhortation to penitence and humility before God, the education of souls in the way of God, these are preparing for the second coming. So also is the proclamation of the gospel, so that people will hear the word and, being converted, choose the path of life. Ordinary Christianity is also social action, to make the world as far as we can a better place, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of inclusion, of compassion, of integrity, and of generosity. All this is preparing for that day. We are an Advent people because we carry with us the promise of that second coming, of a kingdom marked out by love and peace. And because we recognize that promise, we prepare for the day. We celebrate the incarnation, we experience the presence of God in our own lives and in the world, and we are called to respond by living out our lives in a way which is holy and good. We share in the church's work of love. We recognize Christ in the weak and the vulnerable, in the poor, in body and in spirit. And we do our best to reach out to them and to one another in the love of Christ. 4. Though he comes at an hour which is not expected, the church must be waiting. We must be waiting, for the end of the world is nigh. Wake up and prepare.